So first, could you introduce yourself and tell us your amateur radio history, please?
Okay, hello. My name is Simon Oskareva, and it's a short name for Simon, and I'm from Vilnius, from Lithuania, and my call sign is Lima Yankee 2 Echo November. And the history of my amateur radio hobby, it has roots in some sort of like an orienteering that we've been doing, and we need a good and fun amateur, well, not amateur, but the radio for the orienteering game. And I actually took it like, okay, let's have an amateur radio for orienteering. And then I forgot orienteering, and all I was in was amateur radio. That's the short story of it. It was in like 2009, I guess, 10 years ago.
2009.
So my first license, yes.
You are from Lithuania. I suppose most of our listeners are unfamiliar to Lithuania. So please explain your nation.
Okay, first question is like, where the hell is Lithuania? Everybody is asking. So if you know, like there's a Japan, and there's the big country, Russia, and then there's Lithuania.
Uh-huh.
It's the other side of Russia here. Lithuania is a former Soviet Union country and emerged one of the first countries that actually declared independence from the Soviet Union in 1990, in the 11th of March. And, well, the nation is I would say... the weather is quite like here. The people are not as polite as in Japan. That's the other problem. It's only less than 3 million people in Lithuania. So, and the famous cities, I guess, Vilnius, Kaunas, Klaipėda. Klaipėda is the port. Kaunas is in the middle, and Vilnius is the capital, I guess. The language is Indo-European, so it has roots from Hindi. It's not Latin language, it's not Russian language, not Slavic language, and it's a very ancient language. So they have the saying, if you want to listen how people spoke in Eastern Europe like 1,000 years ago, you should come to Lithuania and listen to a peasant talking.
So how to say that in your language like that? Okay, your signal is 59, and thank you for calling. My name is Simon.
Okay, so in Lithuanian. Okay, penki devyni girdžiu jūs garliavoj puikiai. Mano vardas Simonas, mano šaukinys Lietuvai Grikas 2 Eglė Nijolė. Lietuvai Grikas 2 Eglė Nijolė, Lima Yankee 2 Echo November. Over.
So cool.
Right.
You know, completely different from any European language.
We only have one sister language, Baltic language, is Latvian. Southeastern Europe is mostly Slavic language. So my wife is Polish. I don't know Polish because she's a perfect translator for me. And here we're visiting with my family here, as you can see, as you can tell. And the other language family is like Finnish, you know, Estonian Finnish. So they have a bit of different family of languages. So Lithuania and Latvia, two of the Baltic states, are the only sister languages, and so there is no other country talking like this Baltic language.
Okay, so next we'd like to ask you about your trip in this time.
Okay.
So what brings you here first?
Okay, so what brings me here? My father is a chemistry professor, and he was a head of faculty of chemistry in the Vilnius University for like 10 years. And he got an invitation from the Kyushu University in Fukuoka to stay there for 10 months. Science, I guess that's some sort of like a stipendium, some sort of like a scientific work. And he's there. So we thought like since we come here with the family, and my father left her granddaughter, his granddaughter in Lithuania for like 10 months. So we thought like, let's bring her in a couple of months so that the grandpa can see her, how she's growing fast. So here we are with family here in Japan, and we are looking forward to fly to Fukuoka on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And well, you know, I have a Japan Rails pass, so it's for 7 days. We'll probably go to Kyoto, Osaka, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the historical places, yeah. and stay in Fukuoka for at least a couple of days. That for sure. So that's what brings us here.
So, what Japanese food do you want to try?
Okay, that's a good one. Actually, been prepared for
Japanese
this.
Food.
So it's a lot of Japanese food, I guess, around, and it's. I asked a couple of friends saying like, okay, what did you like the most in Japan while you visited? And they all said it's food. Okay, yeah. So I don't know what about my family. They're like we really picky on food, but what I would really want to try is to eat a live octopus.
Ah, takoyaki. I guess
it's like, you know, the moving takoyaki. Octopus. Yeah. So, or like something similar that it's moving and, you know, you have to fight to eat it, you know. So I know that it's a thing here in Japan, so I'd love to try that.
Okay, so next I like to ask you about your home activity. What kind of home activity do you like?
Okay, generally coming back to amateur radio, if you look at my QSL card, I actually like doing publicity things about ham radio, like doing lectures and doing demonstrations, so that it really lacks publicity and good public relations, I guess, worldwide. So I'd like to do that. And I also, in terms of operation, I don't operate a lot. I work usually CW on shortwave. I used to work a lot of UHF VHF. So, but generally UHF VHF is for satellites. I've been part of the Lithuanian first satellite project, the Lituanica Sat. And generally the whatever ham radio activity which attracts a lot of attention from the public, like satellites, something like demonstrations or doing some hackathons or like building antennas, YOTA activities. Mm-hmm. That's what I love to do.
So we have a huge interest in the situation of young hams. So how is it in your country? You know, the lots. I guess lots of young, also lots of young ham radio operators is in Lithuania.
Well, in Lithuania, I would say it's probably it's getting better with the youngsters. I think the IOTA is doing a lot of good work to actually make them active. So they do have some monthly activities which naturally attract more people around. So I would say the situation is not that bad. And for example, we have just a handful of hams in Lithuania. It's basically we have like 900, maybe 1,000 amateur radios out of 3 million. So that's a very small number, and out of which 375 are members of the LRMD, the Lithuanian Amateur Radio Society. So, and I guess that if you look at the board, out of 7 members, I guess 4 members are younger than 30 years. So in the board, that's the situation. So it's not that bad, I would say.
In Lithuania, how many amateurs of the almost same ages as you were?
Yeah, so
this is a laugh question, though.
it's not a rough actually question. I did some while I was the president of LRMD, I did some statistics gathering. So, in my age, I guess it's I'll answer this question from a different perspective. The most likely age of an amateur radio person is between 40 and 45 years. In Lithuania, I would say that me being 36 is like something, you know, there's this curve, so I'm somewhere next to the peak, but not exactly on the top of the peak. So the average age is between 40-45. Maybe when I did the stats, now it's probably between 40 and 50 somewhere. But so my age, I would say, is not on the peak, but it probably gives you the idea how it looks like in terms of statistics. Okay.
You said you are the average of ham radio operator in your country is 40 or 45. That is much younger than in Japan.
Yeah, but yeah. Pretty much younger than the same age.
So I did the stats like 5 years ago, so you just add 5 to this, so it's probably 45 to 50 now. I don't know, but maybe there are some new joiners that kind of drag this number again a little bit back. So 45, something like that, is an average age. So if that's a perspective, so I guess me being 36 is not the most populous, but well, it's pretty okay. I have a couple of friends actually who are like living in the same region, doing the same things, you know. So yeah, I'm not alone.
Next, we'd like to ask you about when you were a president of Lithuania Amateur Radio Society.
Yes.
You know, actually, I'm surprised that such young person as you had been a chairperson of the National Radio Society. Yeah. Is your case quite rare, even in your country?
Okay, so like I said, in the board, we have people like, we have youngsters in the board, so we're literally, our treasurer is like in his 20s, the secretary is my age. I'm the youth representative. It's like 30, 35, 36. And actually, it's not a rare case, because Jota is actually doing well in Lithuania. And it's some of the people here, like myself, are the products of Jota, indeed. So thanks to Jota. And I would say that compared to Japan... Mm-hmm. When there is this such a lack of respect in Lithuania for people compared to here, because you respect each other, and we respect less each other, you know, in Lithuania. So for the elders, it sometimes gets difficult, you know, take this position without any salary, without just work, and so you have to kind of like have a good health. So probably for a younger person, it's a bit easier to drive this organization. So because it's you have to stand for a lot, you have to change a lot of things. You know, and it's like the old people don't actively participate. They don't feel respected. So it's on the other hand, the age does not define who you are. At least in our region, you can be even if you go to work, you can be a team manager or head of department in like your young years. But anyway. I would say the opportunity hit me because there was nobody else capable of doing the job. So I just stood there and said, okay, I'll take the position. They were saying like, you're the only one who can handle this for this these 2 years. So I said like, okay, I'll handle this. So I hoped I handled that.
Okay, so YOT activity is making good effect on both the society, and very... I have to say that YOTA activities should be more
so Jota activities are really impacting, and especially in Lithuania we have like we're sending full teams for over like last 5 years in all the Jota camps in region 1. So we send one of the biggest teams to South Africa last year, like 5 people, like full house, everybody went no hiccups, like 5 places, 5 people went there, like this year in Bulgaria, 3 seats, also full house. So it's like we are taking the opportunity, strictly following the rules. Every year there should be a new person going to Jota, no matter what. So for the last like 3-4 years we're strictly following this, so there should be a new person every time there is a Jota camp.
So the situation, ham radio situation in your country has somehow changed thanks to Jota.
Well, yes, I would say that it's not about the big contests or big on stations that it has changed, but the overall presence of small operators, young operators doing like... we have a local WRTC, national WRTC contest, so there were like... 9 contesters, I guess, this year, or maybe, I guess it was 10 contesters, out of which 4 were youngsters in the WRTC. So, you see, and it's like, Yota is really doing some sort of like, it just attracts attention to ham radio on every country.
By the way, what was the best thing in your present time? I guess everything is meaningful for you, but if you pick up one thing, what is best or what an impressive thing?
Being the president of LRMD and being a board member of LRMD, I think that one of the greatest accomplishments that we've done, there were a lot of public relations on the press, for the IOTA, for the national press, on Facebook, on Instagram, on the social media. I think that before I came to the LRMD board, there was not a lot of these things happening. And it was very difficult to attract the youngsters and actually explain the hobby. So I think that being public, being on the press, being on the news websites is something that did quite a positive thing to LRMD as a whole. So, while I'm not the president anymore, I think I could go back to the president's chair maybe. Oh. But I'm in the doubt because family first, you know.
Yeah.
So, but in any event, while I'm in the board, I continue to do public relations, write articles for the national media, do like high altitude balloon projects, maybe participate in satellite projects, do just SOTA, whatever activities that attract people attention and spread the word of ham radio.
I have to say the same things goes for the YOTA Japan also, because the YOTA Japan is not so much an efficient way to public relationship, you know, plus or social media, SNS. We also have to do something more power, something more power to focus on the public relationship also, I guess to say.
So you said that you have always some difficulty to explain for youngsters what is ham radio, or what it attracts us. So, do you have any idea to explain well to youngsters what is ham radio, or you are always way to explain?
Well, when somebody asks me to explain ham radio to young people who have been born like in the age of the digital age, it usually takes I take it from a different perspective, and I say, okay, you start with the very basic things, you know, when the planet Earth is turning around the sun, you know. And then it's like, you know, the planet is like an egg and has this like It has this atmosphere, like ionosphere, and then, you know, when there's like ham radio, things that reflects the sun's, it reflects the sun rays, which are bad, but it also reflects the radio waves from the inside, and then you start explaining the things like from the geography. It's not about communications. You talk about like, okay, we are the planet Earth, and then, you know, you have to understand what's the how the planet Earth works, and it's like, ta-da! And then there's this like radio band that we can use for fun, you know, and that sometimes kind of like opens the eyes for especially for young people.
You say you want to go back. You want to go back in the board of the chairperson, but you have been a board member of LRMB since 2014. So, what do you want to do next?
Well, I guess I've been working a lot with Yaru, the first region. I went to Yaru conference in 2017. So I would say if I would have the opportunity to spend more time with ham radio, so I would love to participate in the Yaru activities, especially in the public relations part. So I was part of the public relations support briefly with Yaro, so where we supposed to provide some good material for public relations, so you can reuse maybe a good video, maybe a good some reading or a poster, something like that. And I would love to continue doing that, and maybe if our LRMD lacks some active person on the board, I would definitely stay. I will definitely stay on the board as long as it's possible, just to make sure that we have a proper public appearance in the press and in all the media. So I'd love to continue doing that.
And one more question.
Right.
Do you have always I ask, do you have any idea? You have any idea to make a value, social value of ham radio more much higher than in this 21st century?
Yeah, the social value is like you know, things are changing, and we have to keep up with that, and it will not survive otherwise. You have to keep the value because people are busy. The youngsters especially are busy. If you look at an average person in Lithuania who is in school, so every day after school there are like activities, scouts, dancing, you know, and painting, dancing again, yoga, scouts, whatever. So they have a lot of activities, and so they pick the one activity that has the highest social value for them. So if we are not keeping this up with ham radio, it will probably just disappear in between yogas, dancing, and other youngster activities, I guess.
Yeah, the same situation goes also for Japan. You know, after school, the children have to go to the cram school or the piano lessons or the swimming school. So they have a lot of activities after school. But, you know, I have to say that in that activities, maybe the ham radio should be one option for them, and then that's a very good
idea. We've been told to actually cooperate with the teachers a lot in schools, like physics, geography. Let's have a licensed teacher in the school who could run a station. So if you have like 30 minutes in the school, you just go and do some radio contacts during those 30 minutes with a teacher's assistance, if possible. That would be a good thing. But teachers are also overloaded. They have like low salaries, you know. They have other, maybe some even have other jobs. I don't know. Maybe not.
You know, with paperwork and many staffs.
Yeah. But I think that we need to start in schools, especially in universities. We need to start with teachers first.
So this is our last question of the interview. Please give a message to Japanese young ham.
Okay. The message, so do not afraid of the change in ham radio.
No.
Do not afraid to merge ham radio with computers, digital, whatever is in your life. They will have even another perspective of ham radio. So if the ham radio will not change, it will not survive the next 100 years. So don't be afraid of change. FT8, I'm not talking FT8. It's like it's some phenomena. But anyway, if you look at the you know, the Latin language in Europe, there is a Latin language.
Latin.
Yeah, sorry, my pronunciation. No. Latin language. It's dead language because it didn't change. But we have like Spanish, Italian, we have a lot of Latin languages who survived because they changed. So ham radio is the same situation, I guess. If you will change and adopt, so the next generation of kids will see ham radio still in action if we change and we keep up with the new technologies and things around. So otherwise, it will be end of ham radio. So don't be afraid of change.
Thank you very much.
Arigatou gozaimasu. Thank you so much. Thank you.